Morning. Welcome to the Sunday School Hour this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each one of you here in this place today. We're starting our study in the book of Joshua, and we'll be studying, of course, chapter 1, giving you some introduction and dealing with the thoughts that are involved in chapter 1 this morning. 18 verses in this chapter. We'll read through the chapter in its entirety, then we'll come back and deal with it in the outline form. Does everybody have an outline in hand? Anybody need an outline? Okay, everybody got a hold of an outline. All right. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. They answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only be strong and of a good courage. And thus we have the first chapter of the book of Joshua. Just a few things about this book and by way of introduction. In chapter 34, verses 1 through 8 of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find the record of the death of Moses. And in our text, we're told that this occurs after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And God is speaking to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, that is a part of history now. It is something that has passed off of the scene. Any of you that have been around church any length of time, if when that church changes pastors, normally the new pastor will always preach from this text at least once. Moses, my servant, is dead, and their idea is to try to get the idea across that the previous pastor's gone, and that there's a new leader and a new leadership that has been instituted. And in this case, we do see that God has instituted and is instituting a new leadership. But Moses has served his time and he's died. And Deuteronomy chapter 34, we're told that he went up into Mount Nebo. Remember that Moses, along with Aaron, had a particular incident, actually two incidents in their pilgrimage as they came through the wilderness journey. It involved a rock that followed them, as the New Testament tells us this rock was Christ. But there came a time when the children of Israel were thirsty, and it seemed as though there was no supply. And God said to Moses, you go take the rod that you have in your hand and smite the stone. And when Moses went and smote the stone, the water gushed forth, and the children of Israel drank of that water. There was a second time then in their history when they were thirsty again, and God said to Moses, go and speak to the rock. But Moses, along with Aaron, they went, and Moses struck the rock the second time, and the water came out, of course, and God saw to it that the folks were given a drink. But God said immediately to Moses and to Aaron that they would not go into the land. And Moses in particular, as the primary leader, Aaron, of course, as high priest, had an element of leadership in his task as well. But God said to Moses, you'll not go in because you did not sanctify me before the people. You smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock. You would ask in your mind, well, what difference would it make? Why is that so important? Well, God always guards His Word, and He guards His types that are in His Word. And as we're told in the New Testament, that rock that followed them was Christ. And Jesus Christ would only be smitten once. He would die on the cross of Calvary one time. He'll not die again. He'll not have to die again. From the time that the rock is smitten and we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, no longer do we go back for another crucifixion or another death for our sins. That one death is adequate and complete. And now we speak to the rock. The practice is, the Word of God is, that we confess Jesus Christ openly, publicly, as our Savior, as the Word teaches. When Peter made his great confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Such a confession is to be made of Jesus Christ. And then John said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see that Moses then actually marred the type that was there, the rock that followed Israel out in the wilderness journey. And the rock was to be spoken to the second time and not to be smitten. Moses smote the rock. But nonetheless, God said to Moses that he could not go into the land. But he would take him up, and did take him up into the mount in the land of Moab and Mount Nebo. And he showed him this promised land. He could look across, he could see into it, but God said, you will not go in. And certainly he did not at that particular time. Now keep in mind, however, that in the land, whenever the Lord would go into the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses and it was Elijah that conversed with our Lord about his decease that he would accomplish, his death that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. So Moses, in after sense, did get to go into the land, but not in the sense as leader of the children of Israel. And God showed him the land. And then the Bible said that Moses died there before the Lord in the land of Moab. And quite an unusual funeral. God conducted the entire funeral. The only one present with the body was our God. And He buried Moses there in the land. Again, only conjecture, but I'm persuaded that it would very well be true that the reason that God buried Moses was so that there would not be an effort to dig up the bones and have relics and have idolatry again, because the folks did have a high regard for Moses. But God saw to it that he was buried in the land of Moab, and there the body would rest until, of course, the resurrection. As God took Moses, buried him, then the people wept there for Moses for 30 days. In other words, it was a prolonged time of mourning, appropriate time for the man of his character. And then we see that Joshua was instituted and made the leader. But Joshua actually is the author of the book by his name. There will be some points, as naturally there would be, where a person like Joshua, whenever he dies, likely one of the scribes would give the account and record the account of the death of Joshua. But by and large, as we look at the book, it is a book that Joshua himself will author and keep the record that he does. This book picks up the story where Deuteronomy leaves off as they have come to the border of the land, to the River Jordan. And the name Joshua, as we see it in our text, it actually is of the same connotation as the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name Jesus, which means Jehovah Savior, or Jehovah is Savior. And certainly that is appropriate in the type. Again, Moses, we're told the law came by Moses. Well, we know that law could not ever take you into the land of promise, into the place of rest completely. There would be some element of blessing in accompanying the law and that covenant, but the true rest would come through none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So Joshua then, as the type of Jesus Christ, can lead them into the land of rest, into the land of their promise that God has given. And the key verses to this book are chapter 1 and verse 18. We've already read it, but read with me again. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And then giving us the key, or the understanding, that the Word of God is to take very prominent part in lives. And then in the book of Joshua in chapter 11 and verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. So we see the two key verses, as there is the law, there is the Word of God to give, be given high regard and reference, and then the promise is completed or fulfilled when they go in and take the land. And so, but thus we have then in this book, it is a, as I've told some of the teachers, we've been teaching in the book of Exodus, and a lot of type, a lot of symbolism, and the book of Exodus, as we studied through the tabernacle. But here, it's an action book. If you like action, you like movement. There'll be events that are occurring. Sometimes they occur quickly. But there's been a lot of action. I mean, you'll see walls of cities fall and a lot of things go on as we study through the book of Joshua. So it is an interesting and, I think, an important book that we'll be studying. Now, in verses 1 through 9, we have God commission, or commissions Joshua to replace Moses as leader. Again, Moses was not allowed to go into the land, but Joshua was to go in verses 1 and 2, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. I do want to mention something here about Moses that is said, that the servant of the Lord. If there is a man in the Bible that stands out in character as a quality person, it is Moses. Certainly, he was a faithful servant over all of his house. In the book of Hebrews, the man Moses and our Lord Jesus Christ are contrasted, really. They're compared and then contrasted. Moses is a man faithful over the house that he's been entrusted with. But we are presenting Jesus Christ, who is greater because he built the house. But it's a tremendous testimony of a person, a man, that it could be said of him, the servant of the Lord. And it would behoove us to look forward that our lives might be such that when we come to the time of our departure from this life, that it could be said, the servant of the Lord. Certainly, it is important to be a believer, but it's also important as a believer to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And this man, Moses, is referred to as the servant of the Lord. And God said, Moses, my servant is dead. Thus we see that God is going to replace Moses. He's going to commission Joshua. But Moses is not allowed to go into the land, but Joshua was to go in. And the command, of course, is to Joshua, you're to go into the land. In other words, involves movement, going forward, progressing. The commandment to Joshua is not to hinder, not to wait. The time has come, and he is to go over this Jordan and take the children of Israel into the land. He is to go over that particular river, and it'll be an interesting crossing that we'll, as we study it in just a little while. And in a few days, a few weeks, as we look into the prospect of a flooding river, and yet God stays that river from flooding, and the priests step into the river with the ark. The river stands as a wall of water. The children of Israel go across dry shod, just as they did through the Red Sea. And they go over to the other side, and the river will stay. It's time, even in the flood stages, it is a time of the year when the River Jordan will be flooded. But yet it stands a wall of water, and they go over dry shod into the land. And he is to go into the land of promise, and that was a promise made to the children of Israel through Abraham, carried on through Isaac, unto Jacob, and of course to this people that are at the borderland today, to go into the land. And thus Moses not allowed to go in, but Joshua was to go in. God is commanding him to go in. In verses 3 and 4, we have the boundaries of the land as they're given at every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. That have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So it's quite a large land that God has promised to these children of Israel as they're to go in. And it speaks of the land of the Hittites. The Hittites, people that had no written language, therefore records are scarce of this particular people, but as evidence has arisen, it's proven that it was quite a large empire. And the Bible said here that the children of Israel would inherit that land of the Hittites. They were a very warlike people, and they were certainly conquerors themselves, but that generation has passed off of the scene. And by the way, let me just digress a moment. There's a fellow said it years ago, and I'm persuaded of the truth of it, to this good day in which we live, that if there was no other reason for believing the Bible to be the Word of God, it would be because of the children of Israel and the national distinction that they maintain. You would not be able to go anywhere on planet Earth today and find anybody that could say, I am a descendant of the Hittites. In other words, that record is lost, that empire is gone. But even after several hundred years without a homeland, the distinction of the children of Israel is maintained as a national people, a nation of people. God taught to it that they're preserved. And he said to them, you're going in and you'll take this land. That is the land of promise. So we give them the borders of it. And now in verses 5 through 7, Joshua was commanded to be strong and of a good courage. And this might sound like it would not be necessary, but it is. The truth of the matter is that most of us, by and large, are not really strong. We may think that we're strong, that we might be strong-willed in some area, but most of the time our strong will is in the wrong direction. It's usually in rebellion. But God said to Moses, be strong and of good courage. Why? I mean, it looks like a lot of difficulties. I mean, you have a lot of folks in the land. The report that the 10 spies brought back, as we call it, the evil report, was a true report. There are giants in the land. There's folks that are fierce in the land of promise, in the land of Canaan. But, of course, remember Joshua, along with Caleb, had said, what you're saying is true, but God's with us and we can take that land. So it's not going to be something that you just look at from a physical standpoint and say, well, I'm just going to want to rush into this. No, it's going to take the courage that God can give, and only God can give, to carry on the work. And that's true of most of the work of God today. When we look at it from a standpoint of the Great Commission, that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, seems almost an impossible task. Overwhelming, except we can be of a good courage because God promised to be with us. Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we see then that he's commanded to be strong and of a good courage. And there's a reason why. And God gives him, I think, the basic reason. God will be with him as he was with Moses. When you look back into the life of Moses and the struggle that he went through, and certainly Moses, by the time that God spoke to him at the burning bush, he had about given up hope. Remember, Moses was born under the sentence of death. His life was preserved. He was raised up as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he, at the age of about 40, he took in hand to make some things come to pass. He slew an Egyptian, had to flee the land of Egypt, go out to the backside of the desert. And thus he stayed there for another 40 years. And by the time Moses is 80 years old, I think he's about lost all sight and all hopes of ever being the one that would deliver the children of Israel. And God then spoke to him one day from the burning bush. And when he turned aside to behold that sight, that scene, God spoke to him and then told him that he needed to go down to Egypt and command Pharaoh to let his people go. Well, Moses began to excuse himself and say, there's just not much possibility that I'm not a man that's elegant. I cannot speak well. And God pointed out to him that he was the author of all mankind, whether they could hear, whether they were deaf, whether they were blind or they could see, whether they could speak or whether they could not. God is the author of them or the creator of them all. And finally, God said to Moses, he said, I know Aaron can speak well, and he's on his way. You just go on. But you see that Moses had some difficulty in being persuaded. But being persuaded, God was with him. He stood before Pharaoh. He called the plagues upon the land of Egypt. And ultimately, down to the last plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn in all the land of Egypt. So God was with him. And the promise to Joshua is, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So he can be of a strong and of a good courage because God is with him. He'll be with him as he was with Moses. And God said, I'll not fail you. That's a precious promise when you think about it. What scares most of us today? The thought of failure. Not being able to carry on and carry out or complete, run successfully. But God said, I'll not fail you. And he said, I'll not forsake you. In other words, you'll be able to do the task, perform the task, and I'll, not only that, but you won't be by yourself. I'll be with you. And then he's commanded not to turn from the law that Moses had delivered. And that leads us to another point, the book of the law and its importance. There's some things said about it in this particular text that we read in chapter 1 that the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In other words, the law of the Word of God is to have a prominent part in Joshua's life. Same is true of us today. There's a reason why we study the Word of God. And it's not just so we can amass a lot of information and astound people with our wisdom and our intellect, but it is to be applicable in our lives. It is to be effectual in our lives. It's to prepare us to do what we ought to do. He said, you're to meditate in it there in day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, it is to have a positive, aggressive effect in our lives as we study the Word of God. It's not to be studied just academically so that we can dot all the I's of prophecy and cross all the T's of prophecy, but we can have it applicable in our lives, so in the greatest trial of our lives we can rest in the Lord and know that He's strong in our behalf. And you'd not know that if you don't study the Word of God and give yourself to it. Joshua to meditate in the God's law day and night. And God will prosper His way. And He said, you'll be successful. You read the first Psalm. We very well may preach on that tonight. But the blessed man, he meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. Whatever he does, according to the Word of God, will prosper. He'll be successful. And it's God's method of working in our behalf and performing that which He desires as we give ourselves to the Word of God. To neglect the Word of God is to neglect the source of our strength. Then Joshua commands the tribes west of Jordan, verses 10 and 11. We need to keep in mind that there are 2.5 tribes that have asked for the land on the east of Jordan. They saw that it was a land that was very adequate for cattle, and that was what they wanted to do. So they had asked that they be allowed to settle on the east of Jordan. Now, there's some types involved in that, and I won't get into it except to say that there are some that, as believers, they're satisfied with less than what you really could have. But that'll be another lesson and another story sometime in the future. But they are the tribes that are to go over or cross Jordan and settle on the west of Jordan. They are commanded to prepare to go over Jordan. In other words, they get ready because it's coming to pass. And he commanded the officer of the people, saying, pass through the post and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And that's his directive. Joshua's directive through the leadership of Israel to prepare to go into the land. And they are going to go into the land, and they are going to possess it. You find the statement here, and a lot of times we look at such a statement and we fail to appreciate the impact of it. When God says something, He'll bring it to pass. When our Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples that day on the shores of Galilee, get into the ship, let us go over onto the other side. About halfway through, they're in the greatest storm that you can think of, and it's come down upon them suddenly, and their lives are in jeopardy. And they forgot that God said, we're going all the way over to the other side. And here God is saying to this people, through Joshua, through the leadership, you're going to possess the land. You're going to go over Jordan, you're going to possess it. There's a promise involved in that, and we need to embrace these promises. Sometimes they seem to be subtle as we look into the Word of God, but we need to give some thought to what God is saying to us. Then we find in verses 12 through 15 that Joshua commands the tribes that are on the east of the river, or those that have now possession already. There's the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh that have been given rest on the east side of the Jordan. And their families are to remain in their inheritance. In other words, the families don't have to go over the river, but in the text you'll find out that the fighting men are commanded to go into the land before their brethren. Not only are they to go over, but they're to lead the charge as to go into the land. They have their rest, but now they're to see to it that the other tribes, the other ones that have not yet received inheritance, are to receive their inheritance. And they're told to go, and they are to pursue in that attack upon the land until their brethren have rest as they have. And they are to fight until all the tribes have their inheritance. And then we find in verses 16 then on through verse 18, the people approve Joshua. Now this, in a sense, speaks of these tribes that are on the east of Jordan, but it is applicable to all of the children of Israel. And they agree that Joshua is to replace Moses. They do not have any problem with the change of leadership. They acknowledge the fact that God has changed leadership and they are to go into the land and to possess that land. Come on in, folks. How are you doing this morning? And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, will we go." In other words, we'll do exactly what you have to say. They'll do as he says. And then they pronounce that there's a sentence of death upon those who rebel, that they'll not have their place. "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." In other words, again, Joshua is commanded to be strong. He needs to be strong for the sake of the people that he's going to lead. He needs to be strong for his own sake. And he needs to be strong for the sake of the Lord, because here he is in the place of leadership. And he's to be very courageous. He's not to show fear. Now, that does not speak to us or of us as innately courageous. As I read such statements, I'm always reminded of what my daddy used to say. He would say it in a joking fashion, but I found it true most of the time in my life. He'd say, "Boys," he said, "I've got a strong, a courageous body, but my feet just won't stay there." And that's the story of our lives most of the time. We need the courage of the Lord to be able to stay and to stand. And Joshua, as a leader, needs to be able to stay and to stand to encourage this people to go over the land. But the promise is going to be completed, going to be fulfilled. They will possess the land. And we saw it over in the latter chapter of the key verse, that God is going to see that the land is in their possession and divided to them. But thus we have at least an introduction to the book of Joshua and the change of leadership from Moses to Joshua, that he leads them into the land.